Okay. Let's review for a minute, a little bit, where we are in this Hagdama. So then, after this Hagdama, we can get to the Hagdama. And Mr. Hashem, there's a lot to do and a lot of learning to do and fascinating sugyas Bez Hashem, and the Yerushalmi, Teres Eretz Yisrael. Last week we were learning a mimer, trying to understand a mimer from one of the great mashpiyim of our generation, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichron Levracha. We were talking about how it's quite evident from Chazal and from the Ramban and other places that we find in the Rishayim that Sefer Mishneh Torah, that the final book of Chamishi Chamshe Torah, is me'ein a Kabbalah Satorah. It's a type of Kabbalah Satorah. A special Kabbalah, not just to review the Chomer with the young generation, but was a type of a Kabbalah Sator for the Dor Bo'ei Ha'aretz, for the generation that was entering into Eretz Yisrael, that required a what Rav Shapiro said is a Mesira Miuchedes, a particular and specific Mesira, handing over of Torah in preparation for our entrance into the land. And the reason for that is, and this is what's going to bring us into the sugya of Yerushalmi, which is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. The reason for this is that the Torah is not a new and deep way of understanding life and understanding reality. That's the way we were generally taught, that there's the world, there's life, there's all kinds of interpretations of life, but the best and the truest and so on is the Torah. And Rav Shapiro explains that that's a terrible mistake to look at Torah in such a way. The truth is that the Torah is altogether a different mitzvah. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, that chiddush, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose mind is beyond the mitzvahs of our lives, of this world, that Seichel Eloki, that way of God thinking, the way that God thinks, entered into our lives, is not just that we understand things in a better way, in a deeper way, in a different way. Torah is altogether a different mitzvahs. It's a different reality. It's a different mitzvah. And what is a mitzvah? So we learned last week that a mitzvah is the hechetimtze of how a Jew is supposed to access that seichel eloki, that different mitzvah. I use the moshel, that's not from a Shapiro, but I was trying to use a moshel of a person going into outer space, that without a space suit, you can't survive. To go underwater without the proper gear, you can't live. Why? Because in every mitzvah, you need to be able to have that way of living in that mitzvah. You need to have those kalim that you need in order to survive in that particular mitzvah. The mitzvah of outer space requires a certain type of an outfit. The mitzvah of under the water requires a certain type of an outfit, a certain way of, a different way of breathing and living and so on. So too, when we said Nasa v'nishma, Nasa, that word nasa, which means that we are committed to observing mitzvahs, nasa is not just a very, very beautiful and heroic and charming commitment on our part, a statement, a proclamation of commitment, but nasa is the tnai, is the hechetimsa, is the password, it's signing up and signing on to that mitzvah that's called Elokus, that's called God, that's called the Torah. So therefore, it's only because of Nasa that Nishma is possible. Without Nasa, without mitzvahs, without my being mevatel myself, my own personal inyanim, and in a certain way surrendering my own mitzias to the mitzias of Hashem that says, get up, wash neglavas, adavim, put on tefillin, and do these things, and don't do the things that I'm telling you not to do, then we're just not in that mitzias. We don't live in that space of God. Everything is Hashem, but we're not living in that mitzias that's called Torah. We're not living in that mitzias. In order to be able to communicate with Hashem and to have a relationship with Hashem, we learned last week there needs to be a safa mishutafet. There has to be a common language. We have to be in the same ballpark. Yiddishkeit brings you into the ballpark with Hashem. Not to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about it, he's not involved in everybody else's life. But in order to be able to think in that way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in order to be able to change our lives and to transfer over to that higher mitzvah while being in this physical world, the password is mitzvahs. The password is nasa, is Yiddishkeit, is mitzvahs. Everybody else in the world benefits, Makash Baruch Hu, who Hashem gives life and light to all that exists. But it's only through mitzvahs, through nasa, that a person has the password to get into that world of nishma. Now, we didn't really talk much about Eretz Yisrael, but now that's we're just at the end for a moment. So now let's finish this hakdama, where we're up to. This is all what Torah Sh'bal Peh is about. This is what Torah Sh'bal Peh is about. The Rambam we learned says, "Vaha mitzvah zu perusha." The Rambam writes this in his Hakdama. The mitzvah zu, hi hanikras Torah Sh'bal Peh. The Torah Sh'bal Peh is that tziur, is that picture of life in this world, living in this world, a life that comes from another world. And every single detail of that life is spelled out. Living in this world, in the physical world, a life that comes from another world. Akedekach, that every single thing that you and I do, this is what Torah Sh'bal Peh, that's why it's called mitzvah. That every single thing that you and I do, as I said before, from the moment we get up to the moment we go to sleep, from the moment we're born to the moment that we die, every single thing that we do, every nekuda of life, is illuminated by that mitzias of an or elyon of a higher existence. That's what Torah Sh'bal Peh is. Torah Sh'bal Peh is that the way that I tie my shoelaces, the way that I eat, the every single machshava, dibro, and maisa of a Jew is Torah Sh'bal Peh. And only because of that is it possible that a person's entire life becomes filled, can become filled with chidushim nefloim, with unbelievable chidushim that come from something beyond this world, that come from something beyond the physical world. And that's the meaning of what it says in the pasuk: emes me'eretz titzmach means the truth grows from the ground. And all the sfarim tell us that the meaning of the truth grows from the ground is that here on the ground, in this physical world, you and I, by observing all of the mitzvahs, having the password and accessing Torah Sh'bal Peh through our learning Torah Shebichsav and Mishnayos and Gemara, that we are able to draw down into this world new ideas, new concepts that come from beyond this world. Chidush Etar. Which the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, the Ohev Yisrael and other Tzaddikim explain, is how the world is created again every single moment. HaMechadish B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh B'Reishis. We say in Davening, HaMechadish B'tuvo, and Chazal say, Ein Toiv, Ela Torah. HaMechadish B'tuvo. In this form, this is described as taking a makif, the surrounding light, and drawing it into Pnimi, and making it something which is an inner light. That surrounding light is Hashem. That's something which is beyond this world. Like the mountain that was held over our heads. The mountain being held over our heads means that really Torah, Yiddishkeit, Hashem's world is something which is beyond. It's higher than this world. It's the mountain that's over our head. How do you take that light, that surrounding light of Hashem, that Or HaMakif, that infinite light of Hashem, and how do you draw it into your day-to-day life? So Torah Sheval Peh is mitzvah. It means mitzvahs and learning Torah Sheval Peh. And through that, even simple, regular people like us are able to access ideas, concepts that are mamish from beyond this world. We have that safa meshutefet. We have a common language with the Bari, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rav Moshe Shapiro was talking about. And now, as far as HaShem is concerned, and this is why it's a hakdama, and this is why Rav Shapiro explains that we see from the Ramban that coming into the land requires me'ein anukabal satayra, to confirm. There's something different about Eretz Yisrael. Because if the Pasuk says, emes me'eretz titzmach, that now that Hashem has sent the Torah into the world, vayered Hashem al har Sinai, emes me'eretz titzmach, truth can grow from the ground. Beshama and Beshelo, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, and even we, in the Beis HaMedrash, in the Bati Midrashim of the world, we're able to say Chiddush HaTorah. We're able to draw down from this world, Emes Me'eretz Titzmach, we're able to create new ways of thinking, new ways of living, because we're accessed to the one that's infinite, that surrounding light, to the infinite light of Hashem. Because we have that Safam Shutefa, we have that common language, which is Torah Mitzvahs. But we know, and each and every one of us believes, that when it says in the Pasuk, Emes Me'eretz Titzmach, even though in a deeper way it means the whole world, and the Vilna Gaon was saying amazing things in Vilna, and the Baal Shem Tov was saying amazing things in Mezhbuz. But when it says in the Pasuk, Emes Me'eretz Titzmach, there's only one place on earth, in this physical world that has been revealed to us, that in this physical world it's Keneged Eretz HaElyona. That there's a place that is the world headquarters of that connection that binds together, that links this crazy physical world, with something which is infinite, and that's Eretz Yisrael, that's Yerushalayim. And therefore Yeshua, who would bring us into Eretz Yisrael, is that main link between Torah Shebach Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. Some of you have been following the Shiurim and Sefer Yeshua that we're going to return to, Mitzvah Hashem, I think next week or the week after, on Motzei Shabbos is once we start. And we've been learning how, when the Rambam says in his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, there the Rambam tells us the history of Torah, right? How it came to us. And the Rambam writes over there, Yeshua shehu talmidei shel Moshe Rabbeinu, Mosa Torah Shebal Peh, Mitzivohu Aleha. That even though the Torah was being taught, as the Gemara says in Erevin, there was a whole case that said in Mishnah, there was a whole Seder of how Moshe Rabbeinu would chazer over the Torah with Aaron and Aaron's sons, and then eventually everybody reviewed it four times. It's a whole Seder Mishnah, how the Torah Shebal Peh was taught to us. And Yeshua is not part, we've spoken about this many times, Yeshua is not part of that. It doesn't say in the Brisa there in Erevin that anything about Yeshua. It's hard to understand because Yeshua was the one who was closest to Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet he's not part of the Seder Mishnah. His name is not mentioned there in the Seder Mishnah. It's Aaron and his sons and so on, the Zakenim and the rest of Am Yisrael, but where's Yeshua? And the Rambam says in Hakdama that Yeshua is the main connection that we have that binds together Torah Shebach Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. Those are his words. V'liyoshua shehu talmidei shel Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say that about anybody else. It says V'liyoshua shehu talmidei shel Moshe Rabbeinu mosa Torah Shebal Peh v'tzivohu aleha. Because it doesn't say over here, this is a point that's made by, this is made by Rav Soloveitchik and by his uncle and his grandfather. It doesn't say in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when we begin Pirkei Avos, it doesn't say, when it says Moshe Kibel Torah Mishnah, it says Umesar Yehoshua. It says he handed it over, he passed it over to Yeshua. It doesn't say that he taught it to Yeshua. It says, Masorah Yeshua. And Rabbi Yosheva explains that there's a difference between Talmud Torah, teaching Torah, and Mesiras HaTorah, and the handing over of Torah. Something different. Yeshua, as we learned in the Shirim on Sefer Yeshua from Rabbi Tzadok, Yeshua's neshama was created to bring Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. From the beginning of time, we learned in Rabbi Tzadok that Moshe Rabbeinu could not do that. It's not just because something went wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu by the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu could not do that. We're not going into it now. That's in the many Shirim we had in Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu was created to bring us out of Mitzrayim and to give us the Torah and to get us atat to the border. But there, this person, Yeshua, who is the connection between Torah Shav and Torah Shavah Peh, al kidei kach, that the final psukim of Chumash, of Mishnah Torah, the final psukim of Mishnah Torah, it's machlokes in the Gemara, but according to one opinion, according to the second opinion, it's machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, but according to that opinion, Yeshua actually wrote the last eight psukim of Torah, which Stam would seem to be apikoresis, to be clear, right? The other opinion says that Moshe Rabbeinu was crying and he wrote it, Hashem told him the words, and he wrote about his own death. But that Yeshua wrote those final eight psukim, and in effect, what Reb Tzadik and the Maharal and the Yidda Kaddish, many tzaddikim explain that Mishnah Torah, that Sefer Dvarim, is the transition between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, Yeshua had to be there at the end. There was that Messiah, there was that handing over. It's not a matter of teaching. Yeshua is the greatest student. But being the greatest student doesn't mean that he just had the sharpest mind and took the best notes. It means that Yeshua, and this has to do with Yosef HaTzadik, and what we're going to talk about in a few minutes with Rachel and Leah, it's part of what we're learning with Yeshua. But Yeshua was created to be that person who would take the infinite light of Hashem, that while we were in the desert, we were living in that neighborhood of Hashem in such a way that everything was miraculous. It was everything in the Midbar was miraculous. Moshe Rabbeinu's world is a world of miracles. It's not a world of Torah Shebaal Peh. Eretz Yisrael is a world of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because what Torah Shebaal Peh means is Emes Me'eres Titzmach. It means we don't have the man falling down from Shemaim. We don't have any clouds of fire following you around or leading you around. We don't have any ocean splitting. We don't have God speaking to you in a way that's open and that's direct. But in every single step that you take in life, there's that or, there's that light of Hashem Yisbarach, and that human beings are able to access that infinite light of God every moment of their lives, not living miraculously in the Midbar. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's world, Torah Shebichsav, the world of miracles. Yeshua's world is a world of conquering, of Torah Shebaal Peh, of how is the Metzius of Hashem's will to be observed and kept in this world. How are we going to translate Hashem into daily life? That's Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is something else. Moshe Rabbeinu is Hashem, Ish Elokim. Yeshua is a man of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him over the Torah. It's not a matter of that he heard lessons or that he took notes. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah Shebichsav now to be entrusted to Yeshua, and it was given over. Mishnah Torah is that connection between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the transition from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why already in Sefer Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer just, it doesn't say anymore, Vayidav Hashem Moshe Leimer. In Sefer Dvarim, Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is already speaking I. Ve'eschanan El Hashem. Until now, there was no human being. It was Vayidav Hashem Moshe Leimer. Hashem was speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way. Only in Sefer Mishnah Torah, where we're transitioning from the infinite light of Hashem, that makif of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's descending into this world, and now Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim, there's already, he exists. It's Ve'eschan El Hashem, and I cried out to Hashem. And everything in Sefer Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking as a human being, as a person, but as a godly person. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the first four Chumashim, everything is Vayidav Hashem Moshe Laima. And in the beginning, it doesn't say, it just says, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu is writing all of that down. It doesn't even say, he's not even there. It's not saying his name. That the Ramban asks in his introduction to Chumash, why doesn't it say, V'yadav B'Shem L'Moshe Lemer, Reishis Baralukim. Right? The Ramban's question should say, Vaidabar Shalom Moshe Laimer, Reishis Baralukim, Shemai Vesaretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was transcribing all of that. It's a different world. There's no Moshe Rabbeinu. Kila is no Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is just a shofar, and Hashem is blowing through the shofar. But that's not what God wanted, ultimately. Moshe Rabbeinu could not live in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was too much a part of that other world. Instead, Yeshua, who is very much a part of this world, that Yeshua is very much a part of this world, was created to be that connection between Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh. When Eldad and Medad in Parshas Baloischa, when Eldad and Medad were saying Nevuah, B'Seich HaMachna, they were saying Nevuah, and Yeshua was very upset about that, and he said, Dayni Moshe Kalem, that they should be locked up for saying Nevuah. What was the Nevuah? The Nevuah was Moshe Meis and Yeshua Machnis. And Al Tzkovit from Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua was very upset. But what Eldad and Medad was saying was absolutely true. Moshe Meis and Yeshua Machnis. Moshe Rabbeinu was dying, he's going to die, and Yeshua is bringing us in. Because the Mitzias of this world is a Mitzias of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the Rambam is saying. And that's the world of Yeshua. It's a Mitzias of Torah Shabbat Peh, which means to live here in this world in that Mitzias of Hashem's light, of Hashem's will. Without being blown away by the Kriyas Yam Suf and clouds and all kinds of stuff, living in this world of Emes Me'eretz Titzmach. Therefore, the root and source of Chidush Torah on a deeper level is really Yeshua. Of course, it's all traced back to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on Har Sinai. But Umsarli Yeshua. He gave it over to Yeshua, who would bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Because it's Davke in Eretz Yisrael that you and I are able to live complete lives in that reality of God. To observe all of the mitzvahs. Here we're only keeping a small part, to observe all of Yiddishkeit, all of the mitzvahs, and to breathe in the air and to walk and to talk, and every single breath and every single thing that we do, it's all Yiddishkeit, it's all the Rabbanu Shalom, it's all Torah. And I was talking about that a little bit last week, that she may have a different shiur, but you feel that when you're in Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the things that I think is most obvious when Eretz Yisrael is that everything in Eretz Yisrael is Jewish. Including the arguing and the fights, including the heresy and the disbelief. The Rav Kook spoke about this, and Rabbi Nachman also spoke about this, that the kofim in Eretz Yisrael, the heretics of Eretz Yisrael have so much Yiddishkeit in them. That even the way that they do that, even the way that they yell and they scream is like they're talking and learning. You know, of course it's not a good thing, but the kihem chayenu of Yiddishkeit, the kihem chayenu, that it's our life, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere else, that's what the Ramban says, that everywhere else we're keeping mitzvahs, of course we're keeping mitzvahs, but it's as a second language, not as a shared language. It's like a second language. Yiddishkeit and Chutzlar, it's in Galus, is a second language. And we've done a pretty good job learning it over the years. And there's no question that every single mitzvah is very great and it's very holy and so on. But at the end of the day, Rav Moshe Shapiro is explaining in that maimer that Yiddishkeit, and the Ramban is telling us that Yiddishkeit in Chutz Laaretz is not a Safam Shutefet. It's another language. It's another language. It's not life. Only in Eretz Yisrael, Yiddishkeit is life. The dirt is life. The dirt is life. The dinim of Shemitah and Chumas and Maisus, Leket, Shechet, Peah, Orla. The earth is God. Not in a way like an idea or concept. The Mitzias is a Mitzias of Elokus. As we're taught in every single thing in Torah Shabbat Peh. And that's why Rav Moshe Shapiro explains that the Ramban says that Mishnah Torah is Me'ena Kabbalah Satorah for the generation that's coming into Eretz Yisrael, because of Rav, and therefore in Mishnah Torah, Rav Mitzvah Satorah, we see that Mishnah Torah is going over the mitzvahs of the Torah, the vast majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because in Eretz Yisrael we were entering into a different mitzvahs. Whenever we travel in Chutz Laaretz, we're going to different locations in the same mitzvahs that's called Olam Hazeh. So whether or not, whether you're in New York, or you're in Los Angeles, whether you're in in London or in Paris or in Tokyo or Rome, wherever you are, these are different locations in Olam Hazeh. The different locations of the Metzius that's called Olam Hazeh. The second you enter into Eretz Yisrael, that's already something else. That's already a different Metzius. Eretz Yisrael is now we're talking about Emes Meir's Titzmach, and we're talking about a Metzius that's called the Metzius of Torah, the Metzius of Mitzvahs. It's a different Metzius. It's a different dimension of reality. It's not a different location. Again, it's like when you're going to outer space. Outer space is not, it's not just like far away from New York. Outer space is a different Metzius. It's a different Metzius. It has different rules, different regulations. The stuff that you do in this world, in outer space, has no meaning. Doesn't go. It's a different Metzius. And that's not even emotional, a tiny little bit of emotional, because it's still self-consciousness, something which is finite. And Hashem is infinite. But I go from New York and then I go to this city, I go to Chicago, I keep on going across, and I get to Denver, I get to Phoenix, and I go to Los Angeles, and I'm moving across the map. When you go over there, when you go to outer space, you're not moving across the United States, you're not moving across Europe or anywhere else. You're shifting to a different Metzius. It's a different Metzius. With its own gedarim, its own chukim, its own dinim, it's a different Metzius. It's not the same Metzius. It's a different Metzius. And that different Metzius requires a certain Kabbalah Satara. So if you want to be an astronaut, then you can't just like sign up and stand online and then they put you on a spaceship. You go up there, and once you get a little bit higher than the regular, you die. You don't know what to do. You can't do that. It's not traveling. It's a paradigm shift to a different reality. And that different reality, they have to teach you for a couple of years. These guys have to be taught, like, what do you do over there? Like, how do you do? How do you breathe? How do you... It's a whole different Metzius. You just walk in. Because it's not that you've gone to a better Metzius or a nicer Metzius or more interesting Metzius. You've gone to a different reality. And a different reality has its own chukim and its own dinim and its own mishpatim, and it's different. Eretz Yisrael is not another location on the map. Eretz Yisrael is not a nicer place, a more Jewish place, a place where you feel at home because of the history and the all of that is nice and it's true, but that's not the etzem of what Eretz Yisrael is. That it makes you feel good because it's because this is where, you know, Dovna Melech was walking in that's not the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael. Not that it's not true, but that's not the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael. And then you go over there and you say, wow, I can't believe it. This is over here is where the, you know, this happened from Sefer Shoftim Perek Aleph, and this has happened from Sefer Shoftim Perek Beis. Well, that's exciting. But the etzem of Eretz Yisrael, the essence of Eretz Yisrael, the inyan of Eretz Yisrael, is besoid Teresh Baal Peh. We're going to learn that in Mitzvah Sefer Yeshua. There's an amazing Ayve Nachal in Parsha Shlach Lecha that we're going to learn. That's why even the places in Eretz Yisrael, it's all Torah. Kiryat Sefer. What that means, Kiryat Sefer, we'll talk about that. The town of the Sefer, of the book. It's not something that's named after. It means that every single inch in Eretz Yisrael is Torah Shebil Sav, Torah Shebal Peh. It is. It's the physical, earthly manifestation of God's mind, of God's will. And every step you take in Eretz Yisrael, you're turning psukim and pages and mishnayos and gemara, not because Amolas Gevein and we remember I used to be. It's mamish now. It's mamish this second. And that's why Mishneh Torah is the transition, because Mishneh Torah is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh, and shifting over from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebaal Peh, the handing over of God, of the Baruch Hu, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua. It's not something you could teach. It's something that's given. It was something that was delivered to us. It was something that was delivered to us. And the tnai and the condition was, as Moshe Ben said, over and over before he died, especially the last couple of parashas, Mamash was hitting us over the head with this. He was saying, Kindlech, you got to keep everything. You got to keep the mitzvahs. You got to stop the aveiros. I'm not only telling that to you because I want you to be good boys and good girls. Because otherwise, there's no inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not soivel. Just like outer space is not soivel a guy, like we spoke about last week, without a helmet. And underwater is not soivel a guy without oxygen. Eretz Yisrael is not soivel a person that's not Shomei Mitzvos. It's not soivel. It says Beferesh HaChumash. It's not soivel. People can live there, but they're not Bamis living there. We spoke about that a little bit last week. It's not soivel. So Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on saying, make sure there's another bris before we come to the land, another bris. And Yeshua, the first parak of Yeshua, everything is chazak v'matz. Be strong and be courageous. To do what? Be strong. To keep the mitzvahs. Because if you don't keep the mitzvahs, then you don't have the gear, you don't have the equipment. And how can you live without the gear, without the equipment? And then when you do wear that, and you do connect to Torah mitzvahs, then you're hooked up to Hashem's language, and then Eretz Yisrael becomes a wellspring of chidushim, of eres me eres titzmach. So that brings us to the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That's the little Hagdama. It's the other page that you have in front of you. The first piece on the page is from the Kavotzim of Rav Kook, the Baruch Hashem of Zeicha some years ago, and from the first Kaivitz, Tav Lamed Dalet. These are the real original Torahs of Rav Kook. There was a lot of handling of Rav Kook's Torahs that went on for better and sometimes for worse, but these are the original Torahs of Rav Kook. How they ended up in the Svarim, sometimes they were untouched and sometimes they were tampered with the best intentions, but these are the original Torahs in the Kavatsim, in the Pinkasim, and the Kavatsim, the Baruch Hashem we have now. There's still a lot more. There's a lot more of Rav Kook's Torahs that we don't have. A lot. But this is from the first Kaivitz. Let's just read the words. Now, it's going to take us around, I would say, it'll take us around close to Pesach to understand what he's saying over here. We're going to work on it. But I wanted to begin with this, even though it's hard to begin with it, and it's going to take us a while, and then we're going to begin to learn different klolim and how to learn the Yerushalmi and compare it to the Bavli. And everything that we're going to learn in these comparisons is going to show us what Eretz Yisrael is, what that means to us, Eretz Yisrael, what Eretz Yisrael is, what Geula and Mashiach. Every single difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, every tiny little difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, is going to reveal this to us in a deeper and deeper and deeper way. Tav Lamadal in the first Kovitz. She'ifasi gedolahi. Of course, says I have a tremendous she'ifa, a tremendous aspiration, a longing. L'chaber as a Torah haruchanis im a Torah hamaasis. Join together, to reunite. Hatayr haruchanis, the spiritual Torah. Hatayr haruchanis, imatayr hamaisis, with the practical Torah. Theoretical Torah with practical Torah. Spiritual Torah with Torah hamaisis, with day-to-day practical Torah. V'yomim harishonim, in the early days of our history, B'mei ha-Nevi'im b'vadai, clearly, absolutely, clearly, in the days of the Nevi'im, ha-yu shtei ha-Torahs m'chubarvos b'chibur gomor. These two Torahs were bound together completely. Torah ha-Ruchanis and Torah HaMaisis. They were joined together by Chibur Gomer. V'gam bimei HaTanoim v'amirayim gam kein. As long as we had some connection to Beis HaMikdash, and even the Shiraim of Beis HaMikdash, and there was still a Yishuv from that time, so, and there was still some of the residue of Nevuah prophecy that was still in the world. So Cook says that even in the days of Tanav Amorim, Gam Kain, so how are we to somehow reclaim these Torahs, or how are we to join them together? The theoretical Ruchnis Dikat Torah and the Makiv, that surrounding light, and the practical day-to-day life of Torah. Look, you know, you and I learn a lot of things that we don't keep, you know? We there are a lot of things that we learn every day. We're all learning Torah all the time. A lot of the stuff that we're learning, we're not really living. It's a Torah Ruchanis. I'm just saying that in a very simple way. We're all in the same boat. There are certain things that we simply can't keep because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because we're not in Eretz Yisrael. And then there are things that we can keep. We're just taking our time. You know, it's not going so well. Each person in his own life. All kinds of things that we learn. There's a Torah Ruchanis, the ideal, the absolute ideal, that surrounding infinite light. There's the absolute ideal, and then there's the Torah in its real state. In its real state. Lamaisa. Rav Kook says his greatest longing is to join these two together, as it once was. So we don't understand how they lived in the days of the Nevi'im. Right? We don't know what was life like with Yishayo and Yirmiyo. What was it like with the Nevi'im? Because we can't understand how is it possible that they lived without a Kid Shulchan Aruch. How could they have lived without a Mishnah Berurah? Ask any yeshiva bacher. Is it possible to live without the Kid Shulchan Aruch, without the Mishnah Berurah? No, you can't live without that. You have to have Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a tour of Yisrael. What were they doing? What did they do all day? When you look at Tanakh, it sounds like they were fighting most of the time. Like, you know, killing each other, doing stuff like that. Like gladiators or something. Is that what was it? What was that? How were they living then? They were living naturally as Jews. It was Chayim Tivim. Natural life of Jews. In Eretz Yisrael, what was it like? Like on a regular Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning in the winter. I'm kidding. They were working and stuff, but you know they're Yiddish guys. What are they? Friday night they went to a tish. Like what did they do? What was life like in the days of the Nevi'im? There's a lot of speculation about that. Once a person already has become somewhat familiar with the swarm of the two Kahanim of Reb Tzadik and Reb Kook, so then there starts to some kind of a picture begins to materialize. But Stami tried to think back, what was it like being a Jew in the days of the Nevi'im? What was it like? So Reb Kook's greatest longing, of course, as you all know, was to get back to Nevuah. And he really was hoping that he would achieve that during his lifetime as his student at Nozir. You know, from the writings and from the diaries of that they Mamish were pushing for that. But Rav Kook says our work in this world now is to do whatever we can to bring together those two, the Torah Ruchanis and the Torah Maizis. So Sulam, which is Gematria Sinai, Sulam Mutzav Arza, V'Reisha Megiha Shamayim. Sulam, the ladder, heaven and earth, to join together. And look what he says. As I said, we're going to take a while to figure this out. U'mahalach ha-Talmud ha-Yushalmi hu bevadai betzura shel igudim shel shnel chalkei ha-Torah halol. He says, when you learn the Yushalmi, bevadai, it's clear that the Yushalmi is the tzura of the binding together of these two chalokim of Torah. Nevuah, agadata, pnimius, and what? And the most mundane, real, physical, practical observance of Torah. Over time, these two drifted away from each other. So there's Agadata and there's Kabbalah and Pnimius, and there's that Or of Hashem, the ideal and the ultimate, and Dveikus, and all of that beautiful stuff that we learn about in the Svara. And then there's like me and you on a regular Tuesday in the winter. And we're trying to make some kind of a hookup. But the Safa Meshutefet, the language, it joins us together. So we try to keep mitzvahs so we could understand this language and so on. And we could speak the language and to learn. But there's been a terrible, terrible disengagement between those two worlds. Of the Ruchnius of Torah, Tveikis, Pnimius, and the Torah of this world. and Torah, as it's in Torah Shemot Pe'el Lamaisa, there's been a terrible, terrible disengagement, a separation. But Rav Kook says the cure of that is found in learning Yerushalmi. Umahalach HaTalmi Yerushalmi Ubevade B'tzura Shal Igudam Shal Shnei Chelke HaTorah HaLolo. The Yerushalmi is the mystery of binding together these two worlds. That could only be in Eretz Yisrael. Because it's only in Eretz Yisrael where heaven and earth meet in such a way. Which that Chazal say. That by Yerushalayim, Arushmaya, that heaven and earth are Nashka kissing each other in that place of Yerushalayim. In that place of Yerushalayim, the surrounding infinite light of God and finite men are able to speak to each other, are able to share, are able to communicate. And therefore, Rav Kook says, the Yerushalmi, Umahalach HaTalmid Yerushalmi Hu Bevadai Betzura Shel Igudam Shel Shnei Chelkei HaTorah HaLolo. The Yerushalmi is the site, is the secret of that integration of those of the two Torahs, of Torahs, Torah HaRuchanis and Torah HaMaisis, of Shemaim and Aretz, of the infinite and the finite. That's the world of Eretz Yisrael. That's not the world of Bava. That's the world of Yerushalayim. That's the Yerushalmi. And we're going to learn example after example after example by studying, by examining the differences in sugyas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That this is what the Yerushalmi is all about. The Yerushalmi is mamish, the password to travel from one mitzvah to the other. That's the password. So if Kook says, "V'vada b'tzura shel igudam shel shnei chalkei ha'Torah halalu," omnam chasimus ha'Bavli, bo li tein ha'efsharus l'or ha'Torah sheyor gam b'machashakim. The purpose of the Bavli, the chasimus ha'Bavli, the seal and the completion of the Bavli, was for the purpose of our being able to connect to the light of Torah, gam b'machashakim. Even in the terrible dark places of Golas, that in Golas the light of the Yerushalmi of that absolute clear connection cannot shine, because Eretz Yisrael is Emes Meir Tzitzmach, not Bovril and not Borough Park. It's not Emes Meir. They're good places. There's a lot of good restaurants and Bati Medrashim and stuff, but it's not Emes Meir Tzitzmach. Emes Meir Tzitzmach is the Yerushalmi. Doesn't mean the Bavli is not true. Chalil, of course it's true. And we're going to see why we pass like the Bavli now. Why do we pass like the Bavli? Because Bahai Alma, in this world, before it's reached its ideal state, we pass like the Bavli. Because the Bavli is the suit that we wear going into the dark ocean of Olam Hazeh. It's b'machashakim. It's what allows us to be able to have Torah in a place that's called Bavel, and Bavel means all the bilbulma of this world, all the confusion. Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel, and that's all that is meant by that's the whole inyan of Churban Beis Hamikdash and what happened first, like Davka with Bavel, and we're not going to go into that right now. And how is it that from such a place of Bavel, how could it be that was the place where the Torah Shel Bal Peh was incubated for Golos? that throughout Golas we would paskin davka like the Talmud Bavli, not like the Yerushalmi. That the Ur of the Yerushalmi was until recently, until the end of time, the Ur of the Yerushalmi was very, very, very much on the side. And as we know that every yeshiva and every Beis Medrash owned the Yerushalmi. When you take one out, you that's how they own the Yerushalmi. Now the Yerushalmi is Amish, unbelievable. So if Cook says we're davening at 8:50, that's the Yerushalmi says that the not Yerushalmi. That's what Cook says. Olam chasima sabali ba litanev shoros lor haTorah, that we have oxygen shayor gam chashakin. That even in Golis, which is in order to live as Jews, we have to have a special suit, and that's the Bavli. That's not the ultimate. It's not the ideal. The ideal, the ultimate is when you could take off the suit and you could breathe in the air, because the air of Yerushalayim, the air of Eretz Yisrael, that's the air of a Jew. In Chutz Lars, you have to wear something. You have to have a filter. The filter is the Bavli. But because of that, we could live as Jews. But it's not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, you can take off this stuff. You don't have to have any of this stuff on you. Eretz Yisrael. It's mamish it. Eretz Yisrael. It's it. Bazman derish ke'es lachzir es ha'haifa'a le'esanha. And Rav Kook says, the time demands, the time that we're in now, hazman derish. Our time is demanding the reappearance. The reappearance of this in all of its strength. Eisan is the word eitan, strength. The reappearance of this singular Torah bound together, the Torah Haruchanis and the Torah Hamaisis, in a natural, healthy, real way, in every single step of our lives, the Torah Shebaal Peh, Kihem Chayenu, with chidushim and giluyim of unbelievable concepts and ideas, original concepts and ideas that are coming straight from Hashem, in that hookup that exists between Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata. That's the Ur HaYerushalmi. And therefore he says we must now return to the Yerushalmi to be able to connect. The time has come to make this connection. Now what that means exactly, the time has come to make this connection, that this, in a strong way, we're going to be in Shambi. We'll continue with next week. Please see if you could hold on. If you could have like a little folder or something. We've been having a lot of papers, so if you could have some kind of a folder, it would make it much more convenient. Thank you.